East Tennessee weather forecast.
Sunshine today, our high temperatures this afternoon in the low to mid-60s. We will see clear skies and 35 tonight. Saturday, back to sunny skies, mid to upper 60s. Sunday, sunshine, our high approaching 70. And then Monday, lots of sun, our high temperatures on Monday in the low 70s. Tuesday, back to sunny skies, our high temperatures Tuesday near 75. Upper 70s with sunshine on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell on 101.1 The Way.
W-I-A-M.
The thing I'm really thankful for was the focus on Jesus Christ and the gospel that helps me just refocus and recalibrate throughout any point of my day.
101.1 FM, The Way.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology. Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the sun.
The world is in a prophetic wrestling match, but not against flesh and blood, even though the reality of such things plays itself out through Hamas doubling down on war, the Houthis declaring war, and Israel itself declaring they're in the second stage of war. But it's really the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness that have declared war, and we'll see why as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly look at Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, November 3rd, 2023. And if you're wrestling with your insurance needs, let our sponsor, Bob Johnson Insurance, a full-service, independent agency featuring Erie Insurance products, help you grapple with finding the right policies for you. They'll wrestle while you relax. You can contact them by phone at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com. Listen, watch, read the articles, or do all three with any of our previous episodes. Share any of our shows with someone you know, or ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question by hitting us up at thewaymedia.net, then click Signs of the Times, or you can do the same on the ever-popular Way Media app. And now, here to encourage you not to worry if you're a kleptomaniac, because you can always take something for it, is Pastor Mark, who recently failed a fire safety course when asked what steps he'd take in case of an explosion. Apparently, really big ones wasn't an acceptable answer.
Yeah, that's... No, I like it. That's good. And again, I don't think that it's bad because I don't burst out laughing.
Oh, no. I'm way past that now.
Okay.
I am enjoying this regardless of your response now. It really doesn't matter.
Yes, that was
anyway,
very good. Very
anyway.
Good. I like it because I would be taking large steps. I can tell you that.
That's what I figured you would be. I picture you
running
feverishly.
That's right.
Anyway. All right. We have got lots of... I won't say good things to get into, but we've got lots of prophetic things to get into.
Yes, we do.
So we will do that right now as we head over to Israel. Not much going on in that country except this from Breitbart.com. Iran-backed Houthis declare war on Israel after alleged Saudi killings. Please explain.
Yes, and again, this is good even to hear some of this article for our listeners to understand who they are. We've covered before who Hamas is, who Hezbollah is, and now the Houthis. Who are they? They've joined the war. They're way down at the very southern end, below Israel down there, below the Sinai, not Sinai, but they were Saudi Arabia. What is that one? Whatever peninsula that is. You have the Sinai Peninsula. And I guess that is the Sinai Peninsula. Actually, it is. Yes. Down at the bottom of that would be the Houthi rebels.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand who they are. Let me read some of this. Ansar Allah, the Yemenite Shiite jihadist terror organization known more commonly as the Houthis, took responsibility on Monday for a large number of ballistic and cruise missiles, as well as drone attacks against the nation of Israel. The Houthis are an Iran-backed terrorist organization. Look how many organizations that Iran backs and works with Iran. All that whole region.
Well, you know, it's kind of like how we like to give to ministries. You know,
that's what they're doing.
Missions organizations. Yes. So they're giving to missions organizations.
Terrorists. That's right. Yes. That's right. They have their mission. These Houthis, they seized control of the capital of Yemen, Greg, the Sana'a, in 2014, and ousted legitimate president Rabo Mansour Hadi, triggering a civil war that remains ongoing, albeit in a ceasefire state at present time. The group's slogan, get this, now they've taken over, basically they overthrew the government, the legitimate government, mm-hmm. and here's their slogan, Allahu Akbar, again, God is great, death to the United States, death to Israel, curse the Jews, victory for Islam. That's on their flag.
Wow. So thanks for mentioning us.
Yeah, very, very nice, just amiable, sweet people. Despite Ansar Allah's direct ties to the world's most prolific state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, and its stated goal of destroying America, those are its good qualities. The administration of leftist President Joe Biden removed the Houthis from the official U.S. government list of foreign terrorist organizations as one of his first acts in office. Now, again, this is obviously a religiously written. I didn't add that in there. They're calling the leftist president. But the bottom line is the president took the Houthis off of the terrorist organization list when they are some of the worst. They're horrible. And I don't know why they were taken off. The formal declaration from the Houthis that they had begun a terror assault targeting Israel followed a report published in Bloomberg revealing that the Houthis had also started attacking Saudi Arabia directly again, despite an ongoing truce, reportedly killing 4 Saudi soldiers. So you've got to, again, these are the Sunnis, the Shiites. They're fighting each other as well, Shia and Sunni.
Which is another amazing story in and of itself.
Yeah, and so you've got them fighting each other within Islam, and then you've got all of them kind of fighting against Israel, except for right now, the Sunnis aren't really fighting Israel as much, at least not in Egypt. And not in Jordan, and not in Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, yeah.
But the Shiites are the ones that are really the radical, you know, Iran and all that, the Houthis and all that are really attacking, and Hamas and Hezbollah, which are a part of that. But it's interesting. Again, they're already even in this. They're way down. I mean, they're 1,000 miles away.
But you've got to wonder, as a people group, you know, I mean, all of this, Pastor Mark, feels like the stirrings of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Really, it absolutely is. There's no other thing to explain.
You've got to wonder, does their name tie to any kind of regional thing that Ezekiel would reveal for us? Or is it more of a given name way after all of that?
You know, as far as the name, the Houthis?
Yeah. Is it like Hamas means violence, so Houthis means, you know, death to America.
Well, as far as that's what their movement does.
Okay.
But I'll do Houthi meaning here. I'll see if I can get a quick meaning. I've never looked up the meaning of Houthi as far as what it means. I know what they do.
Now, there was a group here in the U.S. called Houthi and the Blowfish. No.
I think it was a little bit different.
A little bit different. Okay.
Yeah, that was a little bit different.
All right.
They are, again, they're called Ansar Allah, which is, again, the supporters of God, and colloquially, simply Houthis. And so again, I don't, I'll have to look that up later, Greg. I hadn't thought to look up what Houthi means, but again,
I didn't mean to spread, it just came to my mind as we were thinking about it. You know, it just sounds, and again, all of our stories are really pointing towards we're turning up the heat on the pot.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, and it might mean supporters of God, but the bottom line is, Greg, is that, look, this is all pointing toward that one thing. I mean, they're all just gathered around. Here's the thing that amazes me. The stated goals of all those attacking Israel is literally kill them all and destroy them. Mm-hmm. And we still have people, even in our own country, marching to support that.
Yeah. Like,
it is absurd and horrific.
It is a spiritual battle of epic proportions right now is what we're seeing played out. We've never seen this level of spiritual blindness.
Yeah.
In my lifetime that I can ever remember.
Greg, not since really World War II.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that same spirit. I mean, even this whole thing where you see that we warned everybody they'd pull the tactics of ceasefire and all this. And of course, if Israel's not going to go along with it.
Right.
Because they know in the past when a ceasefire, they both have a part of that, right?
Right.
Israel says cease and they say fire.
Yes.
So they both have a part of it.
This is very true.
But that's what it means. That's what it means. It means Israel would stop and they would keep shooting.
Yes.
I love what it was. It was the gold in my ear. One of their leaders said, you know, if Israel today put their weapons down, if the enemies around them put their weapons down today, all of them, there would be peace in the Middle East. If Israel put their weapons down, they would all be destroyed.
Yeah.
And that really sums it up.
Now,
I didn't say it as eloquently as their leader did. I forget the exact way they said it. But the bottom line is that's what happens. I mean,
it makes the point.
It does. It just, there's a hatred there. It was interesting. There was a young man, Greg, that went to some of the campuses here. I saw a video yesterday. and he had a piece of paper saying, "Are you with? Do you agree we should fight against Israel and support Hamas?" And yes. Well, just sign this statement that you agree. He said, "Here's what they believe. Read their belief system, and then sign this, and we're going to turn this in somewhere." And it said things like, "Allowed to rape women, kill babies." And I'm like, "We can't sign that." "Oh, well, but you said you wanted to stand with it." That's what they do. Well, that's in their own writings. They promote that. Not one person of all of them. They all put their pen down and said, "We can't support that." Mm. Well, you are. So, I mean, it was a great video.
Wow, what a great video.
Oh, it was a great way to do it. And they made them all realize I'm supporting rapists, baby murderers, all these things. And they just kind of like, they're blind. They're young and they're foolish. Only a few of them, the teachers know what they're doing.
Yeah.
The students are young and ignorant. They don't know. They really, most of them have no clue.
Yeah.
But the professors are the ones that are going to be held more accountable by the Lord, although they're all guilty.
At the apex, I think, of arrogance and ignorance is foolishness. And I really think that's what the Bible depicts for us when it talks about foolishness.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Greg. I've been thinking about, I look back at World War II, and one of my daughters said something very wise to me. She said, you know, depending on where you stand today with the Israel-Hamas issue would show you where you would have stood in World War II. So if you want to know, if you look at those people back then and said, wow, would I have been one of those people that would have stood with the Jews, or would I have been afraid to say anything? What would I have done? Well, depending on what you're doing right now, that tells you. You would either have stood with Germany and the Nazis, or you would have stood with the Jews. It's no different today as far as that goes. And so I think that really, but back then people would say, you know what, you stood on the wrong side of history or the right side of history, right? I want to add to that. I want to give all our listeners today, encourage you, stand with the nation of Israel. You not only will stand on the right side of history, you're going to stand on the right side of eternity. And that's a much larger place to stand than just history. But God is going to one day judge all this, and it's not going to be pretty for those who stood against the nation of Israel. It's the bottom line.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, our next story comes from Breitbart.com as well. This is according to a Hamas official. We will repeat the October 7th terror attack until Israel is annihilated.
Yeah, again, here's what amazes me. Now, listen, on Fox News, it just popped up. It's getting worse and worse on the campuses in support of Hamas. Let me just say this. They are coming out and saying, we want every opportunity to rape all their women and break their bones brutally and kill them while we're raping them. We want to burn their children. We want to put their babies in an oven like they found a child burning in an oven alive. They put the baby in there alive. We want to do these things. He's coming out and saying it. We want to kill them. We want to do it more and more and more. And now they're saying, yes, let's fight for them. They need to be able to do this. It shows you the spiritual blindness, the wickedness behind this, Greg, but the spiritual blindness, as you said a minute ago, it's astounding.
Well, and not only that, Pastor Mark, where is the responsibility of the mainstream media in not reporting these truths?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be politically bent, but this has to do with basic human decency in terms of valuing life and not being so brutal as you're like you're an Assyrian.
I know. It's unbelievable. But Greg, let me, in defense, which I don't think I've ever done.
Wow.
In defense of some of the mainstream media, I've been watching Fox and CNN to see how they're covering it. And even CNN is saying these atrocities are they can't, it's more
okay,
than
they, good.
They're even saying this is wrong. It's evil. It's wicked. It's got to be stopped. Even at this point, CNN's still standing.
Amazing.
I know. I'm shocked. It's like, now I'm seeing not 100%. They still have guests on there that are saying things like, this is war crimes. Blah, blah, blah. So they still have some of that going on. Fox News hadn't gone that far on the other side, but they still have some of that. But they are showing. What's happening is, Greg, they're over there. And let me tell you what Israel's done very wisely. And I know we haven't even read any of this article yet.
Yeah, it's okay.
But but there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
Look how wisely Israel's handling this. Remember, we talked about this, and we may have talked about it on air, so forgive me if we did. I talk about it to so many people, I don't know. Remember when the woman was raped to death, the priest's concubine was raped to death right outside of Jerusalem?
Yeah, we talked about that last week, actually, yeah.
And we talked about how important it was to see what, you know, they needed to see visually what went on.
Right.
Right? Well, see, Israel's doing that. They brought CNN in, and they showed them the baby cut out of the woman's stomach,
right.
the live baby put in the oven and cooked. They showed these things, limbs being cut off and leaving them alive, you know, bleeding to death. They showed these things to them. And although you go, that's so horrible, nobody should see it. We can't, look, I don't promote blood and gore.
For the sake of sensationalism.
Exactly. But let me tell you something. When you have a world that refuses to believe the truth because there's a spiritual battle and they still want to blame Israel for this wicked thing that happened and they refuse to believe how evil Hamas is, when you see that or when you see the world doing that, I think a dose of that, Greg, is not only good, it's necessary to necessary people. And once they showed that to CNN, that's when they begin to go, you know what? This is really, really, Israel's got to do something. And I'm like, that was very wise. And it's really what gathered all the forces of Israel. The 12 tribes came together, all but Benjamin. They came against the tribe of Benjamin because they wouldn't give up those people that raped that woman to death.
Right.
And they ended up having that battle and almost killed them all. You know the story, the biblical story. But
yeah.
there is a time and a place where shock factor is needed to wake people up. And I believe the world needs to be awakened to how wicked and evil Hamas is and those who want to destroy the Jews. And you've got to sometimes see it in very graphic ways.
Yeah.
So this Hamas official will do this over and over, he said, a senior political official in the Palestinian Hamas terror organization told Lebanese television last week that the group intends to repeat its October 7th terror attack until Israel is annihilated. There's their goal. Annihilate them and do it in the most wicked, evil way that only Satan could direct. And I quote, Ghazi Hamad of the Hamas Political Bureau said on October 24th, 2023, in a show there in Lebanon, that Hamas is prepared to repeat October 7th, what they're calling the Al-Aqsa Flood. That's the mosque on the Temple Mount. Operation time and again until Israel is annihilated. He added that Palestinians are willing to, notice, he said Palestinians, not just Hamas, willing to pay the price, and they're proud to sacrifice martyrs. Hamad said that the Palestinians are the victims of the occupation, therefore no one should blame them for the events of October 7th or anything else. Everything else is justified. Again, the bottom line is, this is who they are, and they're coming out and telling you who they are, and you're still supporting them? I understand spiritual blindness. I used to be there. I didn't get saved till I was 25. Mm-hmm. I was in that kind of, I didn't see the truth, but even at that, Greg, I have to believe, I guess you don't know until you're there, because I haven't been unsaved in a situation like this. But how can you be even unsaved and your eyes closed and not at least say what you said a minute ago? There is a certain level of just horrific evil that has to be addressed, whether you know God or not.
Well, I think that the answer really is what you just shared with us, what was happening on these college campuses where people were going for this sign up.
Yep.
And well, here's the list of what they agree with. So yeah. your signature agrees to this.
Yeah.
And once they see that, and they get away from the emotional fervor sound bites,
right,
or video bites,
TikTok,
of TikToking, yeah, of demonstrations for freedom because we're being occupied and,
yeah,
we're being enslaved and whatever, and there's no critical thinking, there's no be a Berean, see if these things are not so. There's a total trust in what they're being fed.
Yeah.
But until they're presented with the facts, then reason, finally.
Yeah.
Thank the good Lord, really, that it kicks in for some of these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, for others, they might just be so far gone that they don't care. You know, I don't know.
Well, I've seen some from the Middle East, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're pushing it very firm on it. And,
exactly.
And the older ones know, yeah, what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you're right, Greg. A lot of them, I think they're looking for the next cause. Look, I'm here to march for anybody that's oppressed because I'm going to be accepted by everybody and I want everything
to
be equal.
I want to make a difference.
Yeah. They really believe that somehow, they believe the lie that somehow Israel has done something wrong, that they're occupying. Look, this is land God gave to Israel thousands of years ago. Before there was even the term Palestinian, Israel was in the land with the temple on the Temple Mount. So to try to somehow say they've come and displaced anybody, God said, yeah, he's going to bring them back in the, yeah, last days, give them the land, and God is doing it, and Satan doesn't like it. That's the bottom line.
You know what's amazing? It says, you know, they're looking for this annihilation. Till Israel is annihilated, everything we do is justified.
Right.
And my mind immediately went to everything God is going to do in Ezekiel. And it's like everything God will do in Ezekiel will be justified.
That's right. It will be.
And there will be such an annihilation, and the effects of which the whole world will know.
That's right.
That our God is the Lord.
And note this. Remember what it said. God said, my fury will come up in my face.
Yes.
God says, I've had it.
I've had it.
Now, and when you exhaust God's grace, that's pretty bad.
That's
because God
point.
Goes hundreds of years. God,
yes.
God allowed the Canaanites over
400.
400 years to repent,
yes,
until he judged them. So imagine, look at God's grace. I couldn't give somebody 400 years. I mean, even if I lived that
long. In our flesh, Mark, we don't give people maybe 4 minutes.
Yeah, no way. No way. So that sounds like a good,
amazing.
That sounds like a good non-Christian story, the flesh mark.
Anyway, the flesh mark.
No, that's what the spirit mark, the flesh mark.
The flesh mark.
And that's me.
Okay.
If I'm walking in the flesh, the flesh mark. If I'm walking spirit.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for the dumb joke. But the bottom line is, Greg, you know, yeah, that's right. God is so gracious and God is so merciful. So for God to wait and say, now his fury comes up in his face, you see how long it's been, how bad it's been. But I would say to anybody right now that's supporting Hamas, You don't want to see God's fury in his face toward you. That is something you don't want to see. God said, for all those people, if they'll see my fury in my face toward them. So it's a time to repent. And I know they're young. I know they're foolish. I'm not making excuses for them. There may be whatever God's grace is in that direction, but I'm going, you know, those that are old enough to understand need to wake up.
Well, and those kids or whoever they were that were on these college campuses showing them the truth of what's going on, that was great wisdom right there. That was godly wisdom, I believe, in getting them to see things, because it wasn't about yelling at them.
Right.
It wasn't about, you're wrong, you know, in escalating the emotions.
That's right.
But using rational logic, basically what Paul says, you know, reason.
Yeah.
You know, reason. Yeah. And so that's exactly what they did. So that's wonderful.
It was wonderful the way he did it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. All Israel News. This is a new news source I haven't heard before. I'm sure you have.
Yes.
Second War of Independence. Israel's war cabinet confirms the quote-unquote second stage of war has begun.
And of course, this is a little bit dated, but I wanted to leave it in here. This is when he announced they were going in on the ground invasion.
That was
the second phase. But as IDF's ground offensive into Gaza intensified, the three members of Israel's war cabinet, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant, and former IDF Chief Benny Gantz, addressed the Israeli public on Saturday evening for the first time and made themselves available to answer questions from the press. Again, this is last Saturday. They said, citizens of Israel, yesterday evening, additional ground forces of ours entered the gates of Gaza. Actually, during our show last week, we talked about it. At the doorsteps of the Fortress of Evil. This is the second stage of the war, the goals of which are clear. Destroying Hamas military and governing capabilities and bringing the captives back home. And so again, in his usual style, it says, and this is interesting to me, Greg, because it is his usual style, Netanyahu addressed the Old Testament. He quotes scripture a lot. He doesn't know the Lord, but he quotes scripture a lot. He said, Deuteronomy 25:17, remember what Amalek did to you, while describing the motivation of the IDF soldiers to avenge the atrocities committed by Hamas. This is the second war of independence, the prime minister stressed. So what he's saying is, look, even as our enemies in the past have done this to us, and God gave us victory, the same thing, fight for, you know, the name of the Lord here and do it. And again, I want to remind our listeners, those of you that right now, because some of you right now, as Christians, I know where you're coming from, you're struggling going, yes, but aren't we supposed to forgive? And shouldn't they not go in there and take retribution? Look, Romans 13 says that God has put the governing authorities in place to bring judgment on the wicked. It says they do not bear the sword in vain. Of course we forgive. Of course we extend grace. But there's a time to forgive and there's a time to bring judgment. And God says for those who do evil and wicked like they've done, God says the government has not been put in place just to be there. They don't bear the sword in vain. They're there as a judgment of God, or a carry out of the judgment of God. They do his bidding, if you will. And God is bringing judgment on Hamas for what they've done. So you have to understand, this is not unchristian to see God judge them. Certainly, we wish they would repent. And here's the thing. If they repented, God would forgive them. But otherwise, they have nothing but judgment that they face.
Yeah. And a lot of times, we'll get things confused in terms of what God tells us to do. Like, in terms of loving your enemies, or turning in the other cheek, or just the different aspects of forgiveness, but not necessarily at the expense of your own life.
Right.
There's only one that willingly laid down his life for those that were actively looking to kill him.
Right.
And that's Jesus.
Yeah.
With the express purpose of what the death represented and what it brought for us.
That's right.
But we're not called to do that.
That's right.
God clearly gives us the right to defend ourselves. Turning the other cheek in things is more situational.
That's
that
right.
Have nothing to do with a death is imminent.
Yeah, a violent assault is different than turning the other cheek.
Exactly.
And the Bible makes that clear. For those who understand it, they do. But Greg, what a great reminder of what you just said, what popped in my brain. Look, you won't see the difference in Christianity and Islam. In Islam, they honor their God by killing others for him. Okay, you kill others for Allah. That's how they honor him. They get a special reward. They get the virgins in heaven, all the gold that they believe they get. In Christianity, it's God dying for us, so nobody has to die. In other words, their God is to kill people. Our God says, no, 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 don't kill anybody. I'll die for all of you. So I give my life so that everyone can live. Theirs is kill everybody so that we can get more in heaven. You see which one is of God and which one is of the enemy. It's very clear.
Yeah.
For those whose eyes have been opened. But again, for those who have not, it's not clear. But that's what we face.
And soon, facing the Middle East, will be the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. You just never know when it's going to happen.
That's right.
But certainly, we're ratcheting things up. And this clearly ratchets things up.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the Jerusalem Post. This is Russia at the United Nations. Israel has no right to defend itself.
Isn't that unbelievable? But listen to their logic, Greg. Here's,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's how the wicked logic comes in.
Yes.
First of all, our listeners should recognize, hey, Russia, aren't they the ones leading this battle against Israel sometime in
yes,
Ezekiel 38 and 39? Oh, yes, they are. So we would expect this attitude. But
yes.
Listen to what they say. Here's how they justify it. Israel has no right to defend itself as it is an occupying power. Russia representative to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, said to an emergency special session of the UN General Assembly on Wednesday, and I quote, "The only thing they can muster is continued pronouncements about Israel's supposed right to self-defense, although as an occupying power, it does not have the power as confirmed by the advisory opinion of the International Court." See, first of all, he's wrong on a, let's talk the earthly level and the spiritual for just a second. What he's saying is, they really shouldn't be there. So since they shouldn't be there, and they're taking somebody else's land, they're occupiers, it's not really their land, they have no right to defend themselves. It'd be like saying, and you know, if you went in someone else's house and the police were coming to get you, that you couldn't defend yourself because you're not in your house. So they're trying to use the argument that has some level of logic. The problem is they don't know God and they don't believe God. God said, I gave them the land forever. It's theirs. And so they're not occupying other than taking what is theirs. If anybody is an illegal occupier, it is everybody other than the Jew that's in the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to say because, and here's why it didn't work on even an earthly level. They are a recognized nation with recognized borders and recognized land. Mm. That means you can't be an occupier. It's your land. Okay. So on the earthly level, in the spiritual level, God gave it to them. So it's theirs anyway. So they're wrong on both counts. They're wrong by saying they're occupiers. No, they're not. It's their land. It's mm-hmm. their country. Mm-hmm. And secondly, they're wrong in God's eyes because God said he brought them back in the land and gave it to them. Mm-hmm. But exactly, we see Satan and God here now, this whole battle going on leading to Ezekiel 38 and 39.
You know, I wonder, Pastor Mark, when Russia stood up in the UN and said, hey, Israel has no right to defend itself. They're occupiers. I wonder if Ukraine stood up and goes, hello,
yeah.
Ukraine over here.
I know.
Hello.
Exactly.
I mean, the
hypocrisy.
Height of hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, somebody brought that up. They're saying of all the people to say that they're occupiers and don't belong to...
Unbelievable. To,
it is. But again, remember,
I know.
As long as it's for your cause,
exactly.
It's okay.
It's okay.
But if it's somebody else's cause, then it's evil and wrong and whatever.
But who's recognizing even that?
Well, us.
Level. I know. Well,
I mean, believers.
Except for the peanut gallery here.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, believers and those whose eyes have been opened, we recognize. And I think the sad thing for me, Greg, is there's a lot of Christians who don't recognize Israel's right and who they are, because even though they truly know the Lord, they've been deceived by their theology that God's through with the nation of Israel. And God said in his word, and we'll get to that in the questions in a moment, no, he's not through. And so we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, that's part of the struggle that I guess bothers me even within the church.
I know. Now that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand these signs of the times, and we need all the help we can get. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville, a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 285 and will be available and is available to subscribe and listen through wherever you get your podcasts. And now it's time for some listener questions. Pastor Mark, we've got four of them this week. The first one comes from Denny. Denny wants to know, is America vulnerable to an HEMP, hemp attack? And not hemp is what we think of hemp.
Right.
Do you think America could be attacked by a quote-unquote high-altitude electromagnetic pulse?
Yes.
Which is hemp. If so, could this play into America not being mentioned as part of the end times prophecies if such an attack is possible? Do you think it would take place before or after the rapture of the church?
You know, I think America could certainly be taken out in some form and fashion because we don't read about them in Scripture. But just because we don't read about us in Scripture doesn't mean we're gone. A lot of nations are not mentioned in Scripture, and they're not gone. God only mentions nations that have something to do with the nation of Israel. They're the crux. They're the center of everything. But
right.
With that said, we do know that we're not going to be on Israel's side or defending them when this attack happens with Russia and Iran coming in from the northern border, because it says they're all alone in this battle, and then God comes in and defends them. So we'll either be neutralized or just not taking part. We'll have to wait and see. Now,
yeah.
With that blanket statement made, let's get back to the EMP, electromagnetic pulse. high altitude electromagnetic pulse. It's a nuclear device, actually. But the way it works, Greg, and you probably know this, but it's up in the altitude above the Earth, and then it doesn't come down, hit the Earth, and blow up, and there's a big mushroom cloud. It explodes. It would explode above the U.S., for example. And the way it works is it just basically neutralizes all your electronics for almost a safe.
It short circuits everything.
Yeah, and they say it could be as long as a generation. You could go like 40 years with no electricity if they set one of those off, okay?
Yeah.
Which would be, again, you see the foolishness of going toward the electric cars. If you only do that, if something like that happened, everybody's car would be useless for 40 years. And so, anyway, but with that said, do I believe, here's my opinion, let me just say this, I don't know whether or not we're going to be neutralized or not, but here's my theory. I do not believe that we will experience an EMP strike. I don't think that any nation will. And the reason I say that is the Bible says the Antichrist will make everybody small and great to take a mark. And that mark is going to be controlled by, guess what? Electronics. And if the electronics of a nation of over 300 million people is gone, he would not be able to put the mark on any Americans and be able to track them. So I think that the idea of an EMP on any nation is not realistic in light of Scripture. Now, I could be wrong. He may have a way around that. So we'll find out. But I don't believe, because of that, I do not believe we're going to see EMPs come into play in the last days, because he's got to be able to monitor everybody electronically by the mark of the beast.
And the whole world seeing the Lord's return will no doubt involve technology.
Yeah, I think we're going to see all of...
There's too many things prophetic that the Bible talks about that really require... the advent of electronics and that technology.
Yeah, God wouldn't do it, and Satan won't, because he needs
he
needs it.
God doesn't need it. But
that's
Satan
right.
Does.
And even there on the Temple Mount with the image, it's going to be, if you don't have electronics, the image is useless. I mean, there's got to be, I think, electron stuff going on. Electric stuff has to work in order for the end times process to take place. So I don't think EMPs are going to be a part of what we see in our future.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Chuck, who enjoys Signs of the Times. Up in Jeff City.
Yes.
Woe to the pregnant and nursing is the title of the question. As I was reading in my personal time, I was taken to a cross-reference, which shows up in two of the Gospels, paraphrasing Mark 13:17 and Luke 21:23, that say, woe to women who are pregnant and nursing. This then led me to another cross-reference in Hosea 13:16. Mm-hmm. The second half of the verse says, they will fall by the sword, their little ones will be dashed into pieces, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. As this happened on October 7th, will we see more of this, and will this be a prominent staple among God's chastisement on Israel? I find it interesting that the Bible highlights this and that children and women were among some of the highlights that we saw violently attacked on October 7th.
Yeah, that's a very complex question, and we got to put it in segments, and also where it falls historically, and also, you know, the context. Great. It's a great question, Chuck, but let's put this in perspective. First of all, what Jesus was talking about, when it says, woe to women who are pregnant and nursing, that is in specific reference to those Jews who will be fleeing down to Petra when the Antichrist declares that he's God. It's right in Matthew 24, and of course there in Luke, you see it as well, Mark. But what he's talking about is not what happened back in Hosea. He's simply saying, woe to, when the Antichrist stands up and says he's God, the Jews who know the word of God are going to flee down to Petra, and maybe some who don't know, and just running with the crowd to get away. And the Bible says they'll go down to Petra. The Antichrist will try to get them, but God will stop it, and they'll be there 3.5 years where God will protect them. So what he's saying there directly is, you don't want to be pregnant.
Or nursing. It's
running through the deserts of Jordan and Israel trying to get down to Petra. It'd be a nightmare for you. It'd be a nightmare for your child. You want to be free, able to run, able to move. So there are going to no doubt be some pregnant women. There are no doubt going to be some infants. But he's saying, you know what?
Otherwise, he wouldn't have made that statement.
Yeah, and he also said, well, you know, pray that it doesn't happen in winter. And why would he say that? So it won't be cold. It actually snows in that region, believe it or not, in the winter. So he says, you don't want to be traveling in snow or cold weather. It gets very cold there, believe it or not. So the idea is, and that in that particular, out of the Gospels is, look, when the nation of Israel is fleeing down to Petra in the last days, you want it to be as easy as possible. Hopefully it won't be snowing. Hopefully it won't be cold. Hopefully you won't be pregnant. Because that's the idea of that. Now we get to Hosea. Yes, there was a woman who was, the baby was in this recent attack in October. But what he said in Hosea also happened in a huge way, much larger, a long time ago. It's happened multiple times throughout Israel's history. So you can't look at October 7th and lock it into that. No, what he was talking about in direct context, here's a context now, contextually, he was talking about that generation, and it happened. when God brought judgment in by Babylon and by all these others and Assyria, they ripped the women open. They did. It's horrible to even say, but there it was. They did it. We know it historically, and it happened.
The same spirit, by the way.
Well, and that leads to here where he's thinking.
Okay.
The question, you're right, because the same spirit that was ruling over that, we have fallen demons that are stationed around the earth, the Bible says, in Daniel chapter 10, as well as God's angels. And those same demons right back then, Chuck, that caused these women to be ripped open and these horrible things to happen, is, I believe, the same spirit and demonic realm that's causing it now and caused it to happen on October 7th. But two very different things. That was a judgment on the nation for their rebellion to God, and then God was going to take them away into captivity, and their enemies did this horrible thing to them. This was simply, again, I think, just a demonic spirit leading them to do the same kind of things, but God's not going to be taking them out of the land, and God's not going to be doing any of that. This is more of a, like you said, it is a breaking of the nation to come back to the Lord, but two very different things. So I don't see them directly linked, really. It's just, I think, the same demonic spirit that led to both things. And so I want to make sure that I got every question. I think I did. And yes, I think we got that answered.
Sometime, and I know we don't have time right now, but I would like to talk to you about that verse in Matthew when Jesus says to pray that your flight not be in winter, that your escape not be in winter. I just think that's an interesting statement in Jesus's professing of prophecy right there,
right,
saying what is going to happen,
yeah,
but giving them, it sounds like, the ability to have input via prayer,
yeah,
in the timing of the judgment.
Yeah, either the timing or the weather.
Yeah,
the timing could be the same.
That's true.
And so you can still have the same timing.
But he said in the winter, so I just figured a season.
Right, but I guess you could be, it could still be in the winter, just, Lord, don't let it snow.
Yeah, that's
again,
true.
Again, it goes back to what we were talking about. And we can address that now. It's not a huge thing to address. It'll take a sidetrack that much. It's the same idea about, remember, they're going to be traveling down there. He said, you don't want to be pregnant.
Right.
Why? So you can travel easy.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want it to be winter. Or cold.
Yeah.
And so, maybe there is, maybe there is some variance there on that, but it could be either way, either the timing of the year or probably even just that it's not winter-y during that time. So you travel in not freezy weather.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. And there's no snow, et cetera.
Woe to those that are pregnant and nursing.
Yeah.
But yet pray that this doesn't happen. I'm just, anyway, the whole thing is just very interesting. The insertion of that plea.
Well, and again, Greg, we see that God does heed the prayer of the righteous when it comes to weather.
Yeah.
Look at Elijah.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, no rain for 3.5 years. What happened? Yeah. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. So if Elijah was to say, if a modern day Elijah or any of us as believers, Lord, please don't let it be wintry. Don't let it be cold. Or Lord, let this happen before the winter begins. God answers those kind of prayers.
Yeah.
God will still do what he's doing, but he does listen. He does allow input. You know, it reminds me of where, and I know this, people say that we have a set day we're supposed to die. And yes, as a general guideline, yes, I agree with that.
He's numbered our days. Yes.
I agree with that. However, the scripture does say, live righteously in the land that you may prolong your days.
Mm.
And it also says, don't live wickedly, lest your days be cut short. So even though our days are on his calendar, there is what we do does affect what he puts on that calendar.
Yeah.
Isn't that a wild thought?
It is. The whole thing is wild.
It really
to me.
Is. The sovereignty of God.
Yes.
He's outside of time. He sees all things. He knows the decisions we'll make. And so he does these things. What a great God.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Liz, enjoying Signs of the Times south of us in Seymour. She says, I'm currently making another trip through Revelation. And on this time through, I was looking at the description that John gives of the locusts that come up from the abyss in the first verses of Revelation chapter 9. In Persian mythology, and again later in Greek mythology, there's a creature called Manticore that fits the description. A human face, a lion's mane, a scorpion tail, and was said to be a quote-unquote eater of men. In European history, it was used often as a depiction of the devil. My question is this. Do you think this could be the thing that John describes?
Well, again, we know that a manticore is something, again, mythological, if you will. But I do believe, Greg, that some of these mythological gods probably are representative of real demons. You know, you look at some of these gods that we have in mythology, and we've always thought about them as they're fake. Like, there's no Thor. Until Marvel came out, then we realized, they do exist. But anyway, you get my point. You get my point.
Or the Mandalorian.
Yeah, you have all the Zeus, whatever. So do I believe there's really all these gods? No, quite obviously. There's only one God. The Bible's clear on that. But Could there be demons who desire to be gods? We know that Satan does. And they give themselves names, the Zeus, Thor, whatever. And so they manifested to man, and then man worshiped them, and it was Greek mythology, and they're really worshiping demons, which we know there was demon worship. First of all, let me say this. It is demonic. You're right, Liz. It is demonic. There's no doubt. These creatures are, it tells us they're demons. But whether or not they're really the mythological manticore, you know, I would just say for sure we know they're demons. But whether or not it's the actual manticore, it'd be hard to say whether that came from the kind of demon that's going to be doing this. It's just going to be demons behind it, I think, is the main thing. But it is interesting. Again, I think there is a link between the Greek mythology and fallen demons. It's hard to nail down exactly what it will be, but there definitely is a demonic connection there, and the locusts are demonic. So you're in the right way. Whether I can say they're going to be the manifestation of what was seen as a manticore, I don't know, but it certainly is demonic, and it's going to be a demonic manifestation. Through these scorpions, et cetera, when that happens, it could be.
Okay.
Could be.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Jason, enjoying Signs of the Times down in Huntsville, Alabama. He says, with all the atrocities that have occurred in Israel recently, it begs the question as to what God is doing with his covenant people. I understand / believe from Scripture that God has not forgotten his promise to the nation of Israel and will / must put them through many trials, to include primarily the tribulation, so that they will finally come to embrace Jesus as their Messiah. For Ezekiel 38 and 39 war prophecy to be fulfilled from Israel's perspective, there needs to be at least one, a people brought back from the sword and gathered from many people, and two, a people dwelling safely. I've never believed that Israel has really ever dwelled safely in recent times. So in light of these things and the amazing ongoing gathering of the specifically named coalition against Israel, do you think these recent atrocities are fulfilling number one above, which is the Aliyah? And can you give some scriptural references that support the concept of Aliyah, especially when it comes to the end of the last days? I believe Jeremiah 29 describes the return of the Jewish people back in the days following the Babylonian captivity, but could it also have a double fulfillment?
Yeah, again, these questions have a lot of stuff in them, so there's a lot of stuff to cover here. Let me kind of go down this list here. Number one, a people brought back and by the sword and gathered. This is definitely the Aliyah or the Aliyah, however you want to say it, of the regathering. God said in the last days he's going to regather the nation of Israel. They are being regathered. So yes, this is the regathering. It's happening. I mean, we're watching it take place. It started in 1948 and just has grown. And now I believe, you know, God even talks about drawing them back in even a greater way in the last days, right toward the end, those that won't come. I think that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing Jews all over the world being nervous because they're worried about what's going to happen to me, right? In America.
Right.
So I think many are going to be driven back to try to be safe and back to Israel. God's going to use all that. So
there and some are being drawn back right now to help defend Israel.
That's right. That's right. As far as the people dwelling safely, I think that we take that too far sometimes, Jason. Let me explain. When it says they're going to dwell safely, it doesn't mean they're not going to have any problems or any wars or anybody that hates them. I mean, if that was the case, America wouldn't exist.
Right.
We have wars. We have people that hate us. We have people that want to kill us, but we dwell safely. So when it says dwell safely, it doesn't mean that they're not dwelling safely. What it means is they have their own nation, they have their own borders, they have their own military that's able to protect them. It is really more of an idea of they can live there safely because they're able to
protect. They can defend themselves.
Yes. And so it doesn't mean they're never going to be attacked or have a terrorist attack or something against them. I don't think there's going to be a time in Jewish history where you could say they dwell safely without any incident. If there's any possibility of that, Greg, that would be the first 3.5 years after the Antichrist declares himself the Lord, makes the treaty with them, and the world has this semblance of peace for 3.5 years. But again, Israel has had years like that where they dwelt safely.
Yes.
So don't be confused. Look, to fulfill the prophecy that they dwell safely, that is going on right now. Even with this war going on, that is now being fulfilled. Why? They have their own homeland. They have an ability to defend themselves. That's what it means. It's not saying, again, no fighting, no war, no danger, or no nation would ever fit that definition. So don't be stumbled by that. They do dwell safely under that definition. And as far as the them coming back and fulfilling it, it's something that refers to it, the Aliyah, or coming back in the last days. Yes, Jeremiah was talking about the return, even as Ezekiel did, the return of Israel coming back from Babylon to Israel, and there was what they call a near and far, dual prophecy, I call it oftentimes, but a near and far fulfillment. That is, the near is they're coming back in 70 years, and the far is they'll come back again in the last days. How do you know there's a dual fulfillment? There has to be something showing that it's the last days. If it just shows it's them, then it's right then. That's it. Well, when you go back and read Jeremiah, the promise that God made to Jeremiah about bringing them into the last, back into the land, he said, I will bring you back under a new covenant. Not like the one you received of Moses in the wilderness. Okay. So there's only two covenants that they had multiple covenants for different things, but as far as national covenants and God's promises to them as a nation, there are only two covenants really when it first of blood here. And that is you have the one that Moses made under the law, speaking of the law, I mean,
yep.
Moses under the law, and then the new law, which is a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. Even as the blood of animals temporarily covered under Moses' covenant, the new covenant is Jesus' blood on the
cross.
Once
and for all.
Yes. So when you go and look at Jeremiah, what you'll see is he makes the promise to bring them back to the land under a new covenant. And that new covenant did not happen in the days of their return from Babylon. When they came back from Babylon, they were still under what? The old covenant. So they have to be somehow taken out and come back under the new covenant. The new covenant, Jesus said, was in his blood. Drink this blood, eat my body. It's a new covenant given for you and forgiveness for many. So, yes, he is prophesying, and near and far, Israel will be brought back in the last days under the new covenant, which we now know is Jesus Christ. And so it is talking about the last days regathering under the new covenant in Jeremiah. It is a dual near-far prophecy.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Pastor Mark, thank you, and thank you, folks, for all of your questions. All right, let's get into some anti-Semitism as if we're not already neck deep in it. This is from Fox News. The UN accused of, quote-unquote, blood libel against Israel, latest in a long history of alleged bias against the Jewish state, which is, the whole thing is ironic when you think about the United Nations formation, really, as far as we can tell historically, came together to declare Israel, to ratify what David Ben-Gurion stood up and declared. Yeah. They all came together and ratified it.
I know. It is so, look, Israel, we've talked, Greg, for years. The UN has done nothing but attack Israel since they've been in existence. Shortly after their approval of that, they've been against Israel almost 100% since then. It's ridiculous.
All right, if we've got to fulfill prophecy, we'll do it. All right.
Yeah, well, listen, it's how absurd. Listen to what he said. Allegations of the recurring United Nations anti-Israel activity, including accusations that the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres seemed to rationalize Hamas, illustrate the world's body obsessed with the Jewish state. He didn't seem to rationalize them. He did. Listen to what he says. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, on Tuesday urged Guterres to resign, ripping into the UN Secretary General for ostensibly rationalizing Hamas murdering of 1,400 Jews, including Americans, on October 7th in Israel. Guterres said this, that Hamas attacks, notice this, did not happen in a vacuum. In other words, these were justified. It wasn't like nothing was wrong that needed to be dealt with, and the Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. What are you talking about? It's Israel's country. This is false. It was the opposite, Erdan said, describing Guterres' words as pure blood libel. That is, you're responsible before God. Your blood's on your own hands because you are making this horrible accusation. This guy, of course, he should be removed. It's absurd. And again, but this just reveals the heart of the UN, Greg. I mean, they have been anti, as the world. They represent the world, and the world is anti-Israel. They have been forever, and they're going to continue to be till the very end. Till the Lord comes back and establishes them as the number one nation on the planet. And the Bible says then everybody's going to want to be near a Jew. That's how it describes it. Everybody's going to say, you're a Jew, let me go with you to Israel, you know, whatever. So, again, things are going to change radically.
I remember our tour guide in 2006 in Israel when we were at the northern end and looking out over the border, the UN border that separated Lebanon from Israel.
Yeah.
He says that's the line of demarcation for the useless nation.
That's right. It is.
The
it
UN.
Is.
So, anyway, that's funny.
And the UN, which means the UNCOLA, yes. That means the not cola. They're nothing. They're the UN, you know.
All right, this is coming from The Blaze. Russians stormed the Mukachkala airport to hunt Jews from Israel. Pastor Mark, this is the story that made me ask you about the regional demons thing, because that's the first thing that came to my mind when I read that. I'm like, oh my word, the regional demons are coming in and storm trooping.
Yeah, it really is. And you can actually see it manifested in through humans. Hundreds of individuals stormed an airport in Russia to hunt down the Israelis flying from Tel Aviv, according to multiple reports. And again, the videos show them flooding this international airport, Greg, in North Caucasus, Republic of Dagestan in Russia. The mob is seen waving Palestinian flags and heard shouting, Allahu Akbar.
Wow.
The mob stormed the tarmac to search for any incoming flights carrying Jews. Think about that. Can you imagine being on that flight? The demonstrators reportedly held up signs that read, "Child killers have no place in Dagestan. We're against the Jewish refugees." Now, let me tell you some of the backstory to this. There were only four Jews on there. And those Jews were taken by the military in a helicopter and taken away safely. Once they didn't let open the plane. They protected them. Good for them.
Yeah, really.
But you know what the plane was full of? You know why they were coming from Tel Aviv? It was a bunch of Russians from Dagestan who couldn't get the medical care they needed there in Russia. So they went to Israel because they said they would help them and take care of them. So they went there and Israel took care of them and ministered to them physically.
And they weren't Jews.
Right. They weren't Jews. Israel just took care of them, these Russians, and ministered to them medically and helped them and then sent them back. And they wanted to now kill all the Jews that were on that plane.
Wow.
I mean, it couldn't be more stark of light and dark than that. And that's what we're seeing right now in the Middle East. It's light and dark. This should be so easy. Greg, there's no greater moral clarity than what happened with Hamas in Israel. And for people to confuse that, it doesn't get any clearer. If you can't figure this one out, you can't figure anything out.
It strikes me as the same spirit that was governing the Pharisees, that was stirring the people up, that the fact that Jesus did something so good that they hated him. They were so blind to the good.
That's right.
That they were straining on the gnat of the fact that he did it on the Sabbath.
Well, remember, he said, "What good thing have I done that you want to stone me?" He
exactly.
even said that. And remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Remember, he raised Lazarus from the dead.
I know.
And instead of them going back and saying to the Pharisees, "Okay, this guy's the real deal, man. I mean, this has to be God." They went back and said, "Hey, man, look, we got to stop this guy. He's raising people from the dead. How do we get rid of him?" I mean, I tell you, when you are spiritually blind, spiritually blind. It is unbelievable.
Yahoo.com, open hatred of Jews surges globally, inflamed by Gaza war.
Yeah, and here's, we need to sneak after this one, Greg, the next article, which you probably did sneak in.
No, I've got it.
Okay,
I've got it.
This, listen, because it fits perfect here. In Los Angeles, a man screaming, "Kill the Jews," attempted to break into a family's home. In London, girls in a playground are told they're stinking Jews and should stay off the slide. In China, posts likening Jews to parasites. By the way, China hates Israel so much, they've now taken them off of all their Chinese maps online. You can't find Israel anymore on Chinese maps online. Anyway, I'll go
we've
on.
We've got to be close.
Yes, vampires, at least I know on the majority. There may be some you can find out there that are still there, but now they've taken them off of their modern ones. Mm. They call them vampires and snakes that proliferate on social media against them, attracting thousands of likes for these horrible things they're saying. And I quote, "This is the scariest time to be Jewish. It's World War II. We've had problems before, but things like this have not been this bad in my lifetime," said Anthony Adler, 62, speaking outside of a synagogue where he had gone to pray in Golders Green, a London neighborhood with a large Jewish community. "The biggest fear is that there will be a random attack on our community and the families of our children." Again, because why? It's the statistics, Greg. Attacks on Jews are going out the roof. They're being attacked all over the world right now in mass, and it's just going up. The percentage-wise, are jumping out the roof.
All right, Pastor Mark, finally, under our Jew hate category, this from Fox News, U.S. Vice President Harris is blasted for a tone-deaf post announcing anti-Islamophobia plan amid the Israel-Hamas war.
Yeah, now get this. Here the Jews are being viciously attacked.
Slaughtered.
Yes, and attacks on Jews worldwide going out the roof percentage-wise, everybody attacking and putting Stars of Davids on houses and on businesses again in overseas.
Hunting them in airports.
Yes, unbelievable. And what does our vice president do? Come and say, "Look, these poor Muslims, we got to do something to protect them." I'm like, how tone-deaf and blind can you be? Now, first of all, Hamas terrorists told Defense Forces he had a member of Hamas, he heard children crying and he shot until the children stopped crying. That was kind of the way this article starts. Yeah, just showing what they were doing. And then it says Vice President Kamala Harris was blasted on social media over a video announcing the country's first national strategy to counter Islamophobia, with most users taking issue with the timing of the post just weeks after Hamas terrorists attacked Israelis. No kidding. It goes on, "Taking on hate is a national priority," Harris said, rolling out the
Except
White House
Except for hatred
plan.
Of the Jews.
Well, it's unbelievable. On the very same day, Greg, listen, on the very same day, on international TV, the leader of Hamas said basically that they wanted to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet.
Right, which we just read that
on
article.
On the same day.
On the same day.
Now, again, how can you be so stunningly blind? This shows you the spiritual battle. The Jews are being attacked. I was like, now we need to protect the people that are attacking them. Now, look, I'm not saying all the Muslims were attacking them. And I'm not saying anything bad should happen to Muslims. We want them to come to Christ.
Of course,
they need to see the love of God and be loved into the kingdom. That's not what I'm saying at all. So this is not, nobody should turn on any people group at all because of this. Every people group should be loved because of this. The point is, there is no, you don't make a magnification of the problem against the people that just got attacked by the group that at least within that group is the one doing the attacking, okay? This is Jean-Pierre, is that her name? Jean-Pierre, I was, had to say the White House correspondent, that lady. I think it's Jean-Pierre or something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Either. Right after, again, the Israeli attack, somebody asked her a question, what are you doing about all this, the hatred and all this whatever? And they asked a question like that. I watched the video. And she said, you know, we're doing all we can to protect the Muslims. And we know they're hated, and we know the people are attacking them.
Wow.
And I'm going, I cannot believe you just said that. I cannot believe you just said that. Look, we're not promoting any type, as we said, hatred toward anybody. Muslims need Christ. They need to be saved. We love them. We want them saved. But you don't take the group that attacked someone and start saying they need to be defended and ignoring the group that just got attacked. I mean, there's no words. I have no words to even address this. It is so wrong. It is so reversed. It is so backwards. But it shows you again the level of spiritual blindness that is on the earth. And gang, listen, friends, it's going to get worse. The Bible says in the last days, deceivers and deceit will grow stronger. And at some point, it's going to be where when people want to be deceived that much, it says in Romans 1 that God himself will then send strong delusion and just allow it. You want to be deceived? I'm going to send strong delusion along with your own spiritual delusion. Now you really can't see, and it's going to get even worse. But hopefully, Greg, we'll be out of here before that.
Yes. And with that, yes. Let's try to end with some good
news. Let's do.
This is from Israel Today. End Times Hope, Mount of Olives prophecies in Israeli news. Please explain how this is good news.
Well, because it comes from Ynet News. Now it's Israel Today explaining it, but Ynet is actually the ones that are saying these things from the Bible prophetically. It's like, what? Ynet? You're not a Christian organization. They're recognizing some things from the Bible may have something to do with everything that's going on.
I
mean,
wow.
That's what makes it good news. Israel leading Hebrew news portal, Ynet, opened a 2020 article entitled The Prophet Zechariah, Jesus and Muhammad, How the Mount of Olives became the Last Days Mountain. The Ynet article struck us as remarkable in serving up the last days to its predominantly secular Israeli audience, tying together prophecies of the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament and even Muslim tradition, calling the Mount of Olives the mountain of expected redemption, the mountain of war of judgment, and the mountain of resurrection. See, the shocking thing is that the secular Jews are saying this, and Greg, the secular Jews are now having their eyes open to scripture. He says, we invite you to dig into biblical sources with us and bring prophetic strands together with the present situation. Here's the quote they gave. Then the Lord will go, this is from Zechariah 14:3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the days of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north and half the mountain moving south. It says, with pride, the Ynet article lays out for its Israel readers the further widening fame of Israel's very own Mount of Olives into the vast world of Christian believers. And I quote, the Mount of Olives occupies a central place in the description of the events of Jesus' last days up to the stage of his crucifixion. Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives and weeps over the destruction of Jerusalem. He foretells the destruction of the temple and even foresees the end days. I think the amazing thing is that what's happening, Greg, is that the unsaved Jewish people are now opening their hearts and eyes more to the Bible and more to Scripture. They're not believers yet, but they're opening their eyes to the Bible and to Scripture, and God is now bringing them into the, again, well, eventually they will receive their Messiah, and they're going to turn to Jesus and be saved. So that's the good news, is that their eyes are being opened to Jesus, even as the Lord said in the last days would happen.
Okay.
I was going to finish on to something else, but
you go right ahead.
No, I was just saying, what I want to say with this, look, continue to pray for the nation of Israel. God promised in the last days he'd bring them back. He's doing it. God said not only that, he would pour out his spirit and they would be saved. That's going to happen. It's going to happen sometime around this coming battle with Russia and Iran and all these people that things are falling into place. But the question is, what about you today? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you made that commitment? You know, have seeds been planted that are now growing and suddenly you realize, you know what? I need to give my life to the Lord. And if God's done that in your heart today, receive Jesus right now. It's very easy. And that is just recognizing that you're a sinner, asking God to forgive you of your sins, saying, Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross. I accept your blood in my place. I should be judged, but you were judged for me. So Lord, forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be born again. And I know it's, again, it's a work of the Spirit. It doesn't just happen from one quick sharing of the gospel like that. But some of you, God's been working on for a long time. And this is your moment. And God's saying, now you need to respond. Respond to the Lord and be welcomed into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mark, Amen. Thank you so much as always. And folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget, thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app is where you can get all things Signs of the Times related. Listen to our radio station, listen to Pastor Mark's teachings from the pulpit of Calvary Knoxville, and much more. We pray that you will be in church this Sunday, loving on the Lord and loving on God's people, and back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM. Follow